Hello everyone, my name is Chalani Mohorti. I am here together with Daryl Scott, a board member at the ISB. And we are here to talk to you about and to provide with you a brief summary about our recent meeting, the TRG for IFRS 17 insurance contracts. The TRG has met on 25th and 26th September. Before the meeting, we had received 81 submissions in total for all three TRG meetings we held in this year. And the discussions in this meeting were around 10 topics. To name them, the first topic was insurance risk consequent to an incurred claim. The second topic was determining discount rates using a top-down approach. The third topic was commissions and reinstatement premiums in reinsurance contracts issued. The fourth topic was premium experience adjustments related to current or past service. The fifth topic was cash flows that are outside the contract boundary at initial recognition. The sixth topic was recovery of insurance acquisition cash flows. The seventh topic was premium waivers. The eighth topic was group insurance policies. The ninth topic was industry pools managed by an association. And the very last topic was annual cohorts for contracts that share in the return of a specified pool of underlying items. We had more lively discussions about two out of those 10 topics that I just mentioned. I invite Daryl to cover them. Over to you, Daryl.
Thanks, Shalani. I think that there was, as you said, a lively discussion on a number of the topics, but two stood out very definitely for me. The first one related to the commissions and reinstatement premiums in reinsurance contracts issued. And this was specifically about looking at the wording in reinsurance contracts and trying to determine what that wording actually means in the economic sense of what's actually happening. So essentially trying to decide which of those cash flows, irrespective of the direction, is a premium and which of the cash flows is a claim. The broad proposition put forward in the TRG paper was that the economic effect of amounts that are not contingent on claims experience are equivalent to a premium. So essentially any amount, irrespective of the direction it flows, if it is not related to or contingent on a claim, then it is part of the premium determination, and equally the reverse for thinking about the claim process. Participants generally agreed with that view as expressed in the as was expressed in the TRG paper. I think most people noted that it's particularly important in reinsurance contracts, as with other insurance contracts, to look beyond the words to make sure that you understand the economics of what actually is happening, the economics of what the parties have agreed to. I think there was also a little bit of a discussion during the course of the TRG meeting about the specific examples that had been included in the paper. And as staff noted during the course of the discussion, these were not the staff examples. These were in fact examples that had been put forward by the submitter of the question. Some of the participants noted that the examples weren't necessarily always realistic. They certainly weren't all-encompassing. And I think, generally speaking, people agreed that although the IFRS 17 had been appropriately applied in the TRG paper to the specific examples that were under question, one needed to think about all of the facts and circumstances when applying IFRS 17. And consequently, you weren't able to take away an absolute solution from the conclusions that were reached on those specific examples. I'll come back to this a little bit later because this is a broader issue that sort of went through all of the papers. I think the other one that stood out for me was the discussion about annual cohorts for contracts that share in the return of a specified pool of underlying items. In particular, the discussion here revolved around BC 138 of IFRS 17, which specifically notes that in IFRSs, the standard typically specifies an outcome. And although it might specify a methodology to achieve that outcome, clearly any other methodology which achieves the same outcome would be acceptable in the application of IFRS 17 and, for that matter, any other standard. So the outcome is the focus. And again, I think it's important that the TRG members in the room at the time agreed with the conclusion that the ISB had reached in that space. It was noted in the discussion that BC 138 is simply articulating a reminder or a general principle in IFRS and is not in fact intended as a specific relief in the standard or anything like that. So it was important to contextualize BC 138 that way. But again, a number of the participants in the discussion raised the concern that they felt that the two examples that were in the standard were oversimplified. They were very specific to specific assumptions. They assumed, for example, that the data raised was absolute, and that IFRS 17 allows for the fact that data can be allocated, data can be determined in various ways. And so they felt that although they largely agreed with the conclusion that we reached for those two examples, they felt it was very difficult to extend those examples beyond their specific circumstances. And again, we would remind people to bear in mind that these are submitted by the submitter, we respond to these specific issues, but actually the outcome may be different if the facts and circumstances were different. So those are two big ones that jumped out to me. There's a third one that I think I'd like to draw attention to people listening to this podcast to, and that was the discussion that we had on discount rates, and specifically how you determine the discount rate in a top-down situation where you have a specified reference portfolio. It's a complicated discussion. I'm not going to get into the discussion now, but we think, and certainly the participants at the TRG, felt that the guidance that was provided in the paper for the TRG was very useful and not necessarily where they would have landed in their own right or in their own space. I think just putting those together then, I think something that was really interesting from an overall perspective that came out of the general discussion, and it was raised at the beginning of the session by Martin Edelman, who chairs the TRG. In this round of TRG discussions, we saw a lot more specific fact sets being submitted to us. And while we've tried to be as helpful as we can in dealing with those specific fact sets, the real problem with it is that a specific example becomes too definitive for the TRG to deal with. It becomes a how-to guide for that specific circumstance. And there was a lot of caution raised during the process of the discussion at the TRG about us drawing too many conclusions from very specific examples. So Martin cautioned at the beginning of the meeting and picked it up again at the end of the meeting that from the perspective of the TRG going forward, we will be more cautious in deciding whether or not specific, call it application guidance, should come to the TRG for discussion.
Okay, apart from the 10 topics that Daryl discussed just now, the TRG members also received a report on other questions submitted which have not been discussed in detail in this meeting. So Daryl, do you want to add anything on agenda paper 11, the reporting paper on other questions submitted?
Yes, so I think there were a couple of important things that were raised and discussed in the meeting on these topics. I guess the first one is a scoping question. We received a submission that asked us about various lending type products and whether or not these would be scoped into IFRS 17. And in general, the staff conclusion was that as long as they contained an element that met the definition of insurance, they would be scoped into the IFRS 17 standard and therefore would be treated as insurance in their entirety. There are, I think, five different issues that were included in the paper, and for those who are looking at the paper, they were submission 33. But it's well worth just having a look at the rationale the staff used. The members of the TRG didn't have a dispute or didn't disagree with the approach that the staff had used in analysing those topics, but wanted to bring it to the attention of the ISB that this was a significant issue and that it meant that some topics that were not traditionally thought of as insurance may well fall under the IFRS 17 banner. The staff did note, in fact, in the paper that this would also be brought to the attention of the ISB. The other topic which was raised and again enjoyed some conversation was the topic of interim reporting. IFRS 17 provides very specific relief for certain circumstances for the way that interim reporting is applied in practice. A submission had raised the question of how this would happen in circumstances where a group has multiple different interim reporting dates. So the holding company might report quarterly, the subsidiary might report 6-monthly, and a subsidiary of a subsidiary might only report annually. Again, the staff analysis wasn't under dispute. The TRG agreed with what the staff had analysed, but again felt that this was an issue that would create some operational burdens. And again, the staff mentioned that they would bring this to the attention of the ISB.
Thanks, Daniel. So all of these together with agenda papers and the official summary are available on our website. So you are welcome to check it up and follow our discussions. Thank you very much. Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.